Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Loving spirit of creation, growth, and transformation. Easter in us, life in us, resurrection in us. Empower us to roll away the obstacles that stand in our way, the things that keep us entombed, the things that keep us from new life, the fears that prevent our surrender to resurrection. Help us to incline our ears to listen to the experiences of the margins, to believe those we might not otherwise believe in. Help us to know that our liberation, that our resurrection is tied up with theirs. May the words of my mouth from these lips of clay and the meditations and reflections of all of our hearts be wonderful and beautiful and full of life in your sight this morning. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. Women were the first to encounter the empty tomb in all four Gospels. They were there to prepare the body with oils and spices, and this was typically the work of women. In Luke, we have Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, mother of James. We also see in today's scripture reading how quickly their witness was dismissed out of hand. Their story was called nonsense, an idle tale, and that's kind of a kind translation, okay? The original Greek word used is the root word, the same one that we get the word delirious from. Okay, so what they were really saying is that the women were nuts. We're crazy, we're disturbed, and not to be believed. Now that right there would have been the prevailing view of women from the perspective of Jewish men. You need to know this. We may think we know how women were regarded at that time, but we really have very little idea. The Jewish historian Josephus wrote that women were considered unacceptable as witnesses because, quote, of the levity and the temerity of their sex. Some people may feel that way today. We have a long way to go. And in fact, Josephus goes on to say that, quote, women were considered so untrustworthy that they were not even allowed to be witnesses to the rising of the moon as a sign of the beginning of festivals, end quote. So, while women today celebrate that women were the first to receive and carry the good news in so many ways, the witness of women then posed a problem for early Christianity. If ever they were to have the accounts of the resurrection believed, then they have to have the gospel mansplained at some point. They had to have a man come in and see it and say what the women already knew and had discovered. And again, we haven't come so far in 2,000 years. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yet knowing exactly how women were viewed at that time, it gives even more weight to the extent with which Jesus included women at the table, talked with them, listened to them, and paid attention to them, even had encounters with them that changed his own worldview. Now that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. And we are now witness of the way that the disciples treated women in his absence. They did not learn from him. They didn't follow his example. And if ever they changed their ways in his presence, they were quick to go back to their old ways in his absence. And how often we do that ourselves. But in some strange twist, many theologians say that the presence of women as the first witnesses actually tends to make the story more credible. Because if you were going to fabricate a story about an empty tomb and someone rising from the dead, wouldn't you want to fabricate it in such a way as to have the most credible witnesses on hand? But focus, Emma, focus. We're talking about resurrection here. Easter is a celebration of resurrection. And what we have in the stories of the empty tomb is not the ending but rather the beginning. Just getting started. It isn't the finish. It is just getting started. Resurrection creates a new reality. It's the one thing that changes everything. It is the one thing that changes everything. It's exciting and frightening and threatening. It's unpredictable and upsetting. It breaks all the rules. It makes all things new. It's also quite impossible. It's like landing on the moon. It's like changing your sex. It's like getting a kidney from someone you know. It's like falling in love. It's like being in recovery. It's like sobriety. It's like reconciling with an estranged family member. It is completely impossible until it happens. Resurrection is at the core of our faith tradition. It's the big cosmic gotcha. It's the hook. It's the calling card. As well as the stumbling block and the obstacle and the wall in the way of the scientific mind and the rational mind. And part of the Jesus story that flies in the face of common sense. But not the only part that does that. A lot of the ministry of Jesus is counterintuitive. Counterintuitive to the ways and the mores of his time. And even our time as well. Thoughts about forgiveness. Forgive 70 times 7 times. Many of us have a hard time with just one. I'm there. Got to work at it. Turn the other cheek. That's tough. It's a pretty word, but when you're actually asked to do it and you have to do it, it's hard. It's hard. It's reflexive the other way. I know it when I'm driving in Northern Virginia traffic. It is hard to turn the other cheek. To give to those who take from you. That's hard too. Help those in need regardless of tribe or who they are. That's hard too. It's hard for us individually and hard for us as a country. So really, in that light, resurrection is just not all that surprising. It's still unbelievable, of course, but as hard as it is to follow all of the other teachings of Jesus, it is not surprising. Now, I once had someone argue with me at length that they could not follow the way of Jesus because the concept of his resurrection was so far-fetched. So improbable, so impossible, such an idle tale, so much nonsense. I told them, whether you believe it or not is less important than what you do with it. Whether you believe it or not is less important than what you do with it. In order to follow any good story, we often have to suspend our initial disbelief of some things in order to authentically engage what is actually going on. Otherwise, Star Wars makes no sense at all. I told them, whether you believe it or not, it's less important than what you do with it. Deny it or create from it. Decry it or let it lift you up. Deny it or make something of it. You can stop the story right there, or you can follow it and see where it takes you and become a part of the story. What we are looking at in the passage from Luke this morning is the absence of Jesus. All we have left of the gift that was given to a broken world is the wrappings. That's it. He has left the building, gone from the tomb. What on earth does that mean? We are told not to seek Jesus among the dead. Seek the living one among the living. Christ is risen. Seek the living one among the living. A few verses later in this, the final chapter of the good news according to Luke, Jesus would appear unrecognized to two people walking along the road to Emmaus. and then would be recognized a few verses later in the breaking of the bread. Still later, Jesus would appear to all of the disciples. Now, there are two things I'd like to leave you with today. The first, we still tend to place less trust and weight in minority opinions. The claims that come from the margins, the claims and stories that come from places with lesser power, those are often disbelieved even regardless of the evidence. Doubt is all too often reflexive, as is disbelief. Yet all the while, claims that come from the center, claims that come from places of power and privilege, are more often assumed to be true. And even if they are untrue, even if they are false, such claims and words from places of power and privilege are much more difficult to unseat, even far more than the truthful claims from the margins. We have to shift that paradigm and seek a resurrection of the truth, a resurrection of the truth in our own society, in our own self is where it begins. It seems impossible. I can tell you it feels impossible until it happens. And we're the ones that have to make it happen. Who are you listening to? Who are you not listening to? Who is trying to tell you something very important that you are missing because you're not listening? That you are missing because that person is different from you? Are you prepared to listen? To really listen to those who are most different from you? Are you prepared to listen for the revelation of God coming from the margins? Because that's where it often comes from. And the second thing I want to leave you with: are you ready for your own resurrection? Are you ready to roll the stone away, the stumbling blocks and the stones that entomb you? And if you are you then ready to help do that for others as well? Are you prepared to look for God, to look for the divine, the holy, to seek the Christ in surprising ways and in strange places? Resurrection seems impossible until it happens. It's the one thing that changes everything. But now, this moment, all we have left are the wrappings. And we are left to wonder, Jesus Christ, where is he? Where in the world? Where in the world is God? Where in the world is God? Exactly. Where in the world indeed? For this moment, we find Jesus among the living, wherever two or three are gathered together, wherever there are those in need, the widows, the orphans, the strangers, the naked, the homeless, the sick, the imprisoned, the hungry, the poor, the least of these. Whenever we are able to become like children, where in the world? Whenever Christ rises within us, where in the world? Right here. Right here. And right here. And right here in Northern Virginia. Praise God. Hallelujah.